You forgot to tell them they could email me at johnb at coasttocoastam.com. J-O-H-N-B as in Bravo at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget the AM. And if you have a question or something I can pose to the gentleman tonight, I will do so. In the meantime, we will come back. I'll tell you what. It's amazing. Agree with it. Disagree with it. Question it. Of course. Always question everything. But Stan Deo and Stephen Quayle are men of conviction with decades and decades of research. So it's almost like those two guys in that that movie that Ed Harris was in, The Third Miracle, sitting around. It's got a real buzz on, been drinking, talking to a higher-ranking priest. I don't know, maybe it was a bishop. And he said, you know, Al, if we die and there's nothing there, we're going to look like a couple of real bleeps. He was questioning his faith at that time. Well, it's happened before. If you research this stuff, if you personally research this stuff, you'll find out that there was a reason that zombies were called zombies and what happened to them. I bet Steve Quayle can tell us all about that. And we're going to talk some more with Stan Deo also about some stuff in our final hour here on Coast to Coast AM. Do stay with us. 2 minutes, please. Seriously, thanks to everybody around the country and around the world. Stuff coming in from the UK and from Western Europe and, I mean, all over the place. And happy Mother's Day to everybody. Now, that's one thing for sure. Everybody. Everybody had a mom. And do remember this. Now, this is personal from me to you. Always remember. It used to be said the measure of a man, but it's the measure of a person. The measure of a person is how they treat their mother, especially in her later years. So remember it. Stephen Quayle, would you clarify something? Stan, I'm not ignoring you. Steve, there is a basis for calling certain creatures, certain bipeds, zombies. Would you give us briefly a linear history of zombies, what a zombie really is? It's not a science fiction Ed Wood invention. It's a real thing.
Well, I think, first of all, when you're talking about zombies, the word came into modern usage out of Haiti and out of voodoo. There's a dust, and I'm talking now contemporary, and I'll even go into Frankenstein, Mary Shelley, and really quick. That's almost a topic so big, but the bottom line is a zombie is a reanimated or an animated being that's put into a catatonic, almost hypnotic state and brought forth at the whim or the command of that who is the controller. For instance, zombies, interestingly enough, have handlers just like CIA agents, okay? In other words, there's somebody controlling the action of the entity. Now, what's important that people understand this is that the first mention of zombie, and I've got to go back to that real quick, in the Epic of Gilgamesh, people who are on Google can go look up the Epic of Gilgamesh, and where you have Gilgamesh, by the way, his tomb was found in Iraq, and that was one of the things everybody wanted was his DNA, meaning Gilgamesh's DNA, because historically his father was a fallen angel, and he was a giant. And so the big fight, John, was for his DNA, and I thought that was fascinating. And so you've got the situation in the oldest known poetic narrative, call it the oldest history book, whatever you want to call it, and this is the 4th century B.C., so we're talking 4,000 B.C., but they're referring to an earlier time of an ancient civilization, and it's fascinating because we're being, having been spurned by, on earth by King Gilgamesh, Ishtar implores her father for the bull of heaven, the sacred bull. It is here that the earliest reference to mass cannibalism and zombification is noted. We're talking 4,000 years ago. If you do not give me the bull of heaven, I will knock down the gates of the netherworld. We know that as hell. I will smash the doorposts and leave the doors flat down, and will let the dead go up to eat the living, and the dead will outnumber the living. Now, in the Hebrew language, one of the words for the dead is Rephaim, as opposed to Nephilim. So it's fascinating that there is such an urging and a splurging of dollars being spent to loose entities that have been bound, and I'm talking now supernatural entities. The thing is, as we take it forth, we're talking about everybody from Vespucci, Sir Francis Drake, DeSoto, Coronado, and Magellan, they record encounters with giants. And then if you go to out-of-place artifacts and practices are confirming that the giant civilization were practicing cannibalism, and they talk in some of the ancient literature about controlling these things. I think even in Hebrew legend, and Stan, you know what I'm going to talk about. What is it called where the supposedly would create an inanimate object, give it life? It has a name for that.
The Golem.
The Golem?
Yeah.
Would you explain to people what that is? Because you know that better than I do.
Well, in the Kabbalah, they've mentioned as well, but what you do is you make a little clay model of the person that you, this thing you want to animate, and make it look like a monster or a person or whatever, and you write a special name in Hebrew on its forehead and say some things, and then it's supposed to animate and go do your bidding to do evil to others. It's kind of like the thing that carries out a curse that you want to put on somebody.
Kind of like their version of a voodoo doll.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
And so the thing is, too, is that the popularity, John, of zombies, you know, they even have in the Archaeology Online, they're supposedly talking about a zombie attack at Hierakonpolis in Egypt. And that's kind of interesting because, again, we're talking about thousands of years ago, and we're talking about stuff that was recorded. By the way, recently in Easter Island, the statues of the Moai, they were excavated. One of them was excavated, and fascinatingly enough, one of the National Geographic stories on Easter Island said that the famous curse of the Easter Islanders was that your grandmother's flesh lies rotting in my teeth. And so basically the whole, if you will, world of cannibalism. Now, where this plays into our time and zombie, what I call it zombie meat, is the prions that were associated with mad cow disease were first sequenced and first identified out of the headhunters in New Guinea when they found that certain headhunting tribes were dying of what was called kuru. I don't know if you've ever done much study on that, but it's fascinating. So what's astonishing to me is that modern science is absolutely going to the oldest records and the secret stuff that we're not allowed to see to basically bring back plagues and bring back composite very dangerous appetites. There's no other way to say it than that. And that even the fact that we've become so jaded that whether it's Pepsi or some of the companies that used to use some of the flavor enhancers, now notice that word, flavor enhancers, and now I've agreed not to use it. I think that if people understood what they were eating, it's why, personally, I won't eat any beef unless it's grass-fed, and I'm now almost eating exclusive bison. I won't eat anything that I don't know the company. You almost have to be a hunter warrior in looking into the company's practices and making sure they don't stick in any cover words, and you've got to really be careful because, again, what we're, and I know this will sound gross, and I'm sorry to make it sound this way, but when I'm told, again, by special operations guys that the fattening up, I mean, George Norrie and I have talked on air about the To Serve Mankind, the old Twilight Zone episode, and it's a recipe, and unfortunately, I think we're giving them bigger pot stickers than is necessary. So the whole cannibalism, and for the record, there was a time when the cutting off of heads was pretty much limited to Saudi Arabia's execution for capital punishment. Now it's almost like the demon, I can't pronounce his name, but it's almost like Onesimus, something like that, has been loosed. And so the thing that God is saying to, I think, the people on earth is you have two choices. You can stand as Christians. Now, people are asking me in my email, what do you do? What should we do with all this news you're giving? I'm trying to tell people that, and I'm going to quote Augusto Perez, who was with in Florida a couple weeks ago. He made this statement, a marvelous, marvelous man of God. He made the statement that there are three attacks coming upon us. There's that which we see through the federal government, the New World Order, and everything else that basically, if you are a tax-paying American middle class, their sights are on you. Number two, the earth changes, the astronomical changes, all of the solar flares hitting the earth, the propensity to affect famine and water. The greatest migration in the U.S. history is when the New Madrid or California, these great quakes happen. When they happen, don't know when they will, but when they happen, they'll disrupt the aquifers, and people will literally, those who are left, though, they'll be looking for water. Then the third prong of the attack, a three-prong attack that the Lord showed Augusto, was that there would be a supernatural release of evil. And so, you know, people, what used to be science fiction, what used to be the stuff of men's nightmares, when it becomes the current day stuff, it's going to be very troubling. And everything that's out there that troubles me, and by the way, I don't think, somebody said, they want me to answer on the air. I don't think we have that much time left. Both Stan and I were talking before the show. I've got my book, Angel Wars, which is preparing people for the supernatural, giving them the history. Everything you're asking me right now is integrated in that book. And then Stan's book, Cosmic Conspiracy, but Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. If someone sends me an email from any place in the world and say, where should I start? And there are people that are really coming to this late in the game. You've got to have a systematic approach to this. But it boils down to the two most important things: fresh potable water and food. That's it. So, and food not being, you know, basically be able to serve your neighbor a meal, not have your neighbor look at you as being the next meal.
Gotcha. Say, a while ago, you said fourth century. Did you mean fourth millennium?
Fourth millennium. I'm sorry. If I said century, I meant fourth millennium.
Just got your six, man.
Yep.
That's
thank
all.
Thank you. I'm telling you what time is it anyway?
I don't know. It's late.
Yeah, it's late.
22 after something.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's make a little transition here, man. Let's go into UFO land. Now, every time nuclear tensions seem to, well, increase, these little guys start showing up over the nuke bases. This is either this is one hell of a global legend as opposed to just an urban legend, or truly true. Reports of multiple nuclear warheads being disarmed in one base and two in the United States. And then 2 weeks later, the same thing happened. And then there's that whole Bentwaters thing and all of that. Stan, tell us about the UFO thing as much as you can. And then, Stephen, when Stan's done with his discourse, give us your take on it as far as the fallen ones are concerned, the great deception and all that good stuff.
Well, to give you my take on the UFO situation, I'm probably going to cover part of that deception as well. But when I was with the group down in Australia, that research group, and we were designing advanced technologies, I found out that the gentleman in charge of that, all of them, the Illuminists, had been fighting a war against Islam for, you know, centuries after the last crusade. I think the 13th one failed, and the crusaders were killed by the Muslim army over there. When I realized that these guys were fighting this war as a crusade, you know, against Islam, I realized that they didn't have the whole picture, that they were still fighting just on earthly terms. But the ancient writings in the Bible and in other tablets, clay tablets at Ebla and various other places in the Middle East, we can see that beings have been visiting Earth for a long time and that they created man. The creation story in the Garden of Eden is only part of the story. What happened with the Illuminists I was working with is in the late 70s, all of their underground bases, their secret underpolar bases, underwater bases, where they'd been jointly developing new technologies with the alleged aliens, I'll put that in quotes, all of those bases where we were jointly researching with them and developing technologies, the humans were kicked out, and forcefully. There was fighting that went on underground all over the place. Now, I was already out of the organization by that time, so I started to look and see why this was happening and what these alien critters really were. And most of the gray, short gray UFO reports and abduction reports had some taller gray beings with them, and I think all these gray beings were nothing more than soft-tissue biological robots that were grown by Satan and his agents who are here on the earth. If not all of them, all of them will be soon. In the Bible and in my own physics and cosmology, I see at least three levels of concentric or parallel universes around us. One in lower energy density than us, and another one in higher, and perhaps many more above that. But the war in the heavens is a war in a parallel universe, concentric universe right around us. That war is being moved here to Earth for a virtual war theater. This is why what we are told in the Bible is that this is not reality. This is a temporary state, and those of us who continue after this in the world to come will be in the real world. So we're like living in a virtual war game here. People don't realize that. The war game is a very involved, very intellectual type game. It plays with our minds. And we've been told in the Bible in prophecy that we're going to come to an end of this age, not the end of the earth, just an end of this age. And at this time, which is now, I believe, at this time, there will be a great deception put upon the people of earth to turn them away from the true creator who made mankind and put them here on the earth for this virtual warfare that's about to happen to settle an issue in the heavens, which is, you know, out of our reach at this point until we die. The UFO situation has been developing actively since about the 1940s, 1943 onward. The technology to make anti-gravity, humans started researching this openly in the press, in the New York Herald Tribune, which I reprinted all the articles, which are hard to get now, but I've reprinted them in the back of the Cosmic Conspiracy to show you the names of people you'll recognize, companies you'll recognize, who are actively researching anti-gravity to make flying saucers and other technologies available. Then in 1958, all discussion of this in the technical papers, the newspapers, and everything else stopped, went dead. That's when mankind started putting the development of this technology away from the general public with the intention of making a new one-world order, but fooling people into thinking aliens have brought new technology to the planet and were going to help us solve all of our problems with weather and disease. And so the only way they could do this was to hide the technology from people. Well, at the same time that they'd been researching all this, these gray critters that Satan had made, I'm sure, contacted man, and not just the United States, all the major nations, Russia, Norway, Australia, and England, Canada, and they made a deal to let these alien or gray critters, which are these biological robots, develop technologies along with mankind, but in exchange for giving us technologies to enhance our, you know, gravity research and stuff like that. We had to let them share a base with us and let them do tests on humans and the livestock for various genetic purposes, which they explained is not a big problem. So the whole UFO thing is a deception to make people think that the true Messiah, the Bible predicts, has come back with his technology to save mankind from these little gray critters. And in essence, the ones that are going to pose as friendly aliens, they come see the Messiah here.
Understood. All right. This has been a fast 3.5 hours, gentlemen. Let's carry on with our final segment when we return on Coast to Coast AM. You know, strong opinions that involve politics, religious beliefs. Oh, stay away from that stuff. It polarizes people. It doesn't have to. Whatever you claim as truth, make certain that you really believe it's truth, not merely something that you acquiesce to because you couldn't find any truth. We'll be right back with our final segment with Stan Deo and Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. Well, this has been some great fun. It really has. I mean, scary stuff, but it's still fun. Hey, you fellas feel like taking a call?
Sure.
Let's take a call. Aaron in Virginia. She has something important to tell us. Aaron, come upon the bridge and speak with us.
Thank you so much. Hello. Thank you.
Hey, are you a mom?
What'd you say?
Are you a mom?
I am not a mom.
Okay, well.
No. So,
all right.
No, don't
I was going to wish you happy
one.
Mother's Day, but wish your mother a happy that's Mother's on. Day for us. Okay?
I will. Pass it on.
Perfect.
My important, it's a question, but it's also something I just have to get out there because I feel it's important. I know you said not religion or politics, and it's neither of those, but I do think there's a need for polarization of the people for a very sincerely, absolutely necessary cause. And I need to know how to encourage or arrange for or participate in a universal agreement, like synchronized, simultaneous, immediate action to reject money, financial system. It's already failing, but how hard would it be to get everybody to understand that we don't need money, and if we rejected it, we would take away all the power that these people have, who whatever system is in play, the power system that is not the majority.
That's a beautiful concept. What do you think about that, gentlemen?
Power.
Well, I think it's idyllic from in one sense of the word, that's exactly what they're trying to do with the cashless system. Look, gold and silver are just measures in the Bible. From the book of Genesis, it was stated that God hated unjust measures. And it's amazing, John, because I get into this discussion daily, probably that's an understatement, hourly, because people are looking. You see, this is the thing. It's kind of like you can live on love. You can't live on love unless you're a prostitute and you're selling yourself. And I'm seriously, I'm not trying to be cutesy on this statement. The bottom line is that Jesus said, make friends with yourself of unrighteous mammon. So the true riches, when they're given to you, you'll know what to do. Look, the parable of the stewards, the 10 talents, is all based on what are you doing with what you've got. It's kind of like the whole position of the Illuminati. Why they hate Jesus so much is because Jesus is obviously the one that God sent as mankind's redeemer. Now, people say, well, you can't deal with that. The system of finance that we have right now, the worldwide paper money system, has failed. We, the United States, littered the world with paper, and that paper is losing value. So it's forcing the world to go back to the same concept it was in the days of the creation of Adam and Eve forward. You go to barter, commodities, and that's what people have got to understand. When you give paper, here's the thing that's the hardest thing but the easiest thing to point out. When they came up with fiat money, and the only guy that's ever been true to this is Ron Paul, okay? Ron Paul is the only, in my opinion, honest congressman when it comes, and I'm limiting this statement to when it comes to financial matters. You've got to understand that the media won't even give him his fair due outside of mocking him or ridiculing him. But remember the quote you started at the show with: we are at best prostitutes, we are the vassals of rich men. Swinton calling those who control the media the puppet masters. So I just in answer to the woman who said that, that's not true. It's functionally folly. You still have to have a way of bartering, because like it or not, it's like the electron spin ratio. When God said, let there be light, and there was light, the whole basis of barter and basically value were based on commodities. It's not what any person had in their bank. I mean, when Jesus had to flee with Mary and Joseph into Egypt to avoid the sentence and wrath of Herod, God sent him down to Egypt with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He presented the Magi with the knowledge to bring the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but he didn't come with T-bonds, T-bills, and paper dollars.
Gotcha. All right, this is an interesting one. Let's talk to Anonymous in Alaska. Are you the Anonymous who messes with computers, or are you just nameless?
No, John. In fact, you're going to know immediately who I am when I say these two things. I am the one that emailed you about the Reno Air Show and game show, a game, two-player game, board games.
Gotcha. Well, welcome back. Thanks.
And here's the reason I'm anonymous to help. A couple segments back, and Mr. Quayle was talking about betrayals and how it's a real thing. You know, I'm usually a casual listener of the Coast Show. Here we go. Anytime Stephen Quayle comes on, I go, oh my God, it's this guy, and he can never stay on a subject more than 5 seconds. Let me tell you something. the reason this man doesn't, the reason he's always, oh, and by the way, I know I'm sorry, I know all about that, is because he's got a razor-sharp mind. He knows everything. And I'm telling you what, Mr. Quayle, with all due respect, you need to do it twice as much, twice as loud, most often. You're my favorite guest on this show now. Because I am not just an innocent bystander of Coast tonight. I'm the show. Because I made a simple mistake of getting a pharmacist who issued me a drug to clear up an hour. And I can't pronounce it, but I'm going to try. And I know, Steve, you can get this. And I need to apologize to Stan, because I know I don't know if this is in your field or not, and I hate to leave you out. So I'm going to give you an apology right now. I think everybody, the 80 million people that are listening to me right now, can tell by the veracity, the velocity, and the intensity of what I'm saying. I'm not wasting too many ums and ahs and hums because I don't know what I'm saying. This is real. There's a drug out there for allergies called methylprednisolone. Am I pronouncing that right, Mr. Kell?
Are you saying it's prednisone?
That's what I think it is, but here's what it says. Methylprednisolone.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not. That's not prednisone, okay? And forgive me, I'm having a really hard time hearing you, so, you know.
I will slow down a little bit.
Okay.
I had the unfortunate experience of having a pharmacist that didn't realize that he was supposed to tell me not to drink any alcohol when taking this.
Exactly. You had a drug reaction?
Yes. Psychotraumatic reaction, exactly. I knew I was going to get on Coast to Coast tonight because there's a God in heaven. The only thing it is so appropriate that you are on here, sir, Mr. Quayle. And again, Stan, I'm sorry if I'm leaving you out. I don't mean to. And John, I know you know what I'm talking about as well. The only thing I'm a little bit leery or a little bit disappointed is that Alex isn't here to share a little bit about it too. And maybe if he's got a special number that he can get in and he's hearing this right now, I'd like to get in chime too.
Well, what happened to you as a result of taking this drug?
Approximately 22 hours ago, I premeditated, almost carried out the murder of one of my very best friends because I made the mistake of drinking a beer at a birthday party at a bar the night before.
Can I address that from a biblical standpoint, since you seem you're open to that? One of the things in the Book of Revelation...
No, sir. I wasn't open up. Let me tell you something. It's not chemical. Those chemical reactions are simply a doorway for those entities to come in.
Right, and let me share this, and that's why the Book of Revelation, the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia, which we get the word pharmacy. And again, what you're talking about is a drug that's been designed by whoever the laboratory that designed it. And it's why so many men who come back from Vietnam with PTSD and people that have emotional problems, it's my contention that these guys know perfectly well by the tests they do what to expect. So my suggestion to you is if you need to get a hold of a physician, because again, some of those things, like you are saying, that you almost committed an act of murder because of the chemical that affects you. And that's why people go off. And I mean, when they go off, they commit crimes. And most of the time, isn't this interesting? It's on antidepressants.
That's very interesting. One more. We got time for one more and then a couple of closing comments from Stan and Steve. And that would be Glenn in Texas. Are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Wells. It's a pleasure. I have a question,
sir,
for Steve. I was wondering if you're familiar with the four-county area at the tip of South Texas known as the Rio Grande Valley and the violence that has been going on across the border.
Well, I try and watch it on a daily basis, and I talk to Border Patrol guys, and especially in that area is where the area they identify to me as a place where a lot of Middle Eastern, and these are their words, terrorists are getting through.
Well, let me describe it to you. There are 9 international bridges, and since September of last year, there have been dozens and dozens and dozens of gun battles, and I'm not talking about a couple of guys shooting in the street. I'm talking drug cartels taking police stations by force, killing entire police stations off in every town along the border here. We've had Mexican army helicopter gunships, missile attacking drug cartel bunkers. They have actually had World War II type assaults on these international bridges, taking the roads, and I don't mean the roads 20 miles down the pike. I mean 300 yards from the international bridges, and they're cordoned off, and incredible violence.
What side of the border? What side of the border are these battles taking place? On their side or our side?
Their side.
Okay, good.
The Rio Grande River is little more than a stream, because it's been dammed off, and you could literally just swim across it.
I think every American, not to interrupt you, but they should be asking, why are the borders left open? With this kind of violence, we've got all of our guys around the world fighting wars on other, trying to keep it safe every place else but here, and then why are, you know, foreign troops in this country being told that the patriots and the people who care about this country, you know, are the terrorists? See, it's kind of like the days that woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. You've got to ask yourself, all Texans should ask themselves, and should be basically recalling anybody that isn't doing something about the borders, because quite candidly, your borders are being left open for a reason. And again, Doug Hagman did a wonderful job of interviewing actual high-placed DHS officials and others, and they shake their heads. And the answer at the end of the day, John and Stan, is that they're being let through on purpose to destabilize the United States at the correct time.
All right, do you look at it that way, Stan?
Yes. As I said earlier in the program, I think the United States is definitely going to be taken down, and the process has started. This is just
how long? How far out do you figure we are? I mean, just look in your crystal ball. I don't expect it to work much better than mine.
Well, I don't think we're going to have another free election, if we have an election at all, for president. And after that, I think it's going to hit the fan real quick. Our economy just won't take much more before people revolt. And at that time, it would be the beginning of the end for this country. So we're looking at 1, 2, 3 years before it just really falls in the heap. Once we go down, once we weaken, our external enemies can come in and take us down completely. But I think,
well, sure, civil unrest would encourage that, wouldn't it?
It would, but I do think, even with the Hopi prophecies as well as we've visited with them, that there will be remnants surviving what comes, but there won't be many, and there will be kind of a rebirth after a while of what was America, but it will be a new country, mainly with the people, the Native American people, and some of the survivors of the Civil War that's coming.
Skip in Anaheim, first time caller. If you're there, come up on the bridge and make it quick. I got 2 minutes for you here.
You're right about that. Their borders are open, so there'll be a mass exodus from the United States eventually. But in regards to our soldiers are out there fighting, you know, we're all supposed to theoretically obey the Ten Commandments and just, and that's it, you know, and then you're good to go. But when people commit suicide, now it bothers me, our soldiers out there. Now, your mindset, when you die, I drove a tow truck. I see a lot of people get killed in cars, and sometimes they don't know what hit them, so their mind is... that's when your spirit leaves and your body is just an empty shell. But when you're going to, if you kill yourself, you know you're going to kill yourself, then your mind is in a different place. And I think that's when you go to hell. But when you just get shot, you don't know it. Then I think then you go to heaven. And I want to know what Steve and the other gentleman think about that. I'll take this off the phone.
All right, thanks, Skip.
Well, first of all, it's a given man wants to die, wants a judgment. And I work to the best of my ability to stop people from taking their lives, because I believe the 139th Psalm, that the heart of an infinite God, more numerous than the sand of the sea, so are his thoughts that he thinks towards us. Listen, we're not talking about some anthropomorphic alien that dumped garbage in the Earth's atmosphere and spontaneously generated humanity. We're talking something so amazing that it causes Satan and the fallen angels rage to be reminded that God, when he created mankind in his
image and likeness originally, and the likeness, meaning we act like him, think like him, and love like him, that can only be restored through the blood of Jesus, and that's the basis of Christianity. So listen, I for one am tired of people getting into their political pulpits claiming they're Christians, whether it's Pelosi, whether it's Obama, or any of these people, when everything they do is denigrate the Lord, denigrate the Ten Commandments, or the ACLU saying we think there should only be six. And my answer to them is, who the hell do you think you are? And hell will certainly receive you. Here's the thing. It's a fight between light and dark, good and evil. There's lying signs and wonders getting ready. Stan referred to the ancient technology, the advanced technology. And the point is when that comes out to a people that are electronically plugged into the Borg, and I'm talking about those who literally live in a virtual world, they will absolutely think that this guy is the Antichrist I'm talking about. The Antichrist, by the way, means not against, as in anti-something, anti-matter, but it means in place of. And so the thing is that what I believe, I can speak for both Stan and I on this, and look, I'm not a physicist, but I will say this. We both have dedicated the majority of our life in writing our books to trying to help people. I can speak for myself. I don't know the situation, but I can tell you that when Holly put the years of her life into writing Dare to Prepare, it's not about selling books. There's free information up there. I've got 10,000 pages on my giant website. But what we do is we try and present our cases. We plead with men, and we're pleading with women. Accept the love of God. Look, I hate killing. And by the way, I'm not a pacifist, but I'm disgusted with the bloodshed on this planet. I'm disgusted with the abortion. I'm disgusted that people who, you know, if I say to everyone who's quote-unquote pro-abortion, aren't you glad that the people that allowed you to come into this world didn't adapt your attitude? Listen, it's a question of blood sacrifice. So it's so apparent where our men and women fighting and slaughtered for what? When we find out what the bottom line is, it basically is this.
We got to go, Steve. Okay. Stan, thank you. StanDeo.com and SteveQuayle.com. Come back again soon. This was a lot of fun. Hey.
Thank you, John. All righty.
Thank you very much. The quote was Machiavelli, writing in his work The Prince, according to Mark in the UK. Sun Tzu said, know your enemy and know yourself, you'll always be victorious. I'm sticking with mine. Your friend is close, your enemy is closer. Is the enemy us? No, they just look like us. Until next Saturday night and beyond, happy Mother's Day. Be well.